Good afternoon, everyone. Hopefully you're here for this presentation, and if not, bad luck, the doors will close, you've got to stay. We've got two speakers today to talk about predictors of return to work. The first one is Dr. Shrani Dice. Shrani is a qualified professional with a PhD in geography at the Uni of Wollongong, postgraduate qualifications in statistics, more than 10 years as a senior lecturer, 20 years experience in workers' comp in Australia, and has been around workers' comp for a long, long time. I shouldn't say long, long, should I say? For enough to have a very good amount of experience. She's assisted, been a key part of the work or the team transforming analytics into strategic decision making within CIRA, and has delivered a range of innovative solutions and improvements in the data analytics area within CIRA. She's currently responsible for delivering analysis and insights within CIRA, within the workers' comp and the home building compensation schemes. And also leading development of data and digital strategy within the data analysis and reporting group within CIRA. Catherine Day has held senior public sector disability and injury management roles in both state and Commonwealth government agencies, more than 20 years experience working with the New South Wales workers' comp system, and led teams to develop regulatory frameworks, design workers' comp guidelines for employers, insurers, health and medical practitioners, created return to work initiatives, programs, and tools to promote the timely and safe work options for workers and their employers. And she's a fellow of the Australian Society of Rehabilitation Counsellors. I'll now hand over to Shrani, or Catherine. There we go.
So I need to make it clear, this is Shrani's paper, but she's actually invited me to provide some context. So I'll just present a bit at the beginning. Shrani will talk about the analytics. I'll pop up at the end, towards the end, just to talk about how we're applying those analytics. So our purpose for this presentation is to go through some of the analysis Shrani and her team have undertaken to identify predictors of return to work using three different data sets. So the first data set is a pre-2012 claims or admin data set that a lot of is used. And the data that we had at that time was from the nominal insurer. So the data is from claims of premium-paying employers. The second analysis is on the post-2012 data set, and that's the whole system, including our self-insurers and specialised insurers. And then we've actually taken this opportunity to look at the National Return to Work Survey data set. So each of the jurisdictions, after the survey's done, is given the data that relates specific to that jurisdiction. And Shrani's used a couple of different methods of analysis, which I don't really know much about. So, just to provide context, so CIRA is a newish regulator, although we've now been operating for a couple of years. Although when the split occurred between WorkCover New South Wales, so we had we now have SafeWork New South Wales, iCare, and CIRA. CIRA also grabbed on to some other areas, so we are regulating both workers' comp, motor accident, and home building. Workers' comp, as I mentioned, we've got the nominal insurer, administers policies and claims for premium paying employers. SciCorp Treasury Managed Fund, also administered by iCare, so that's about 90% of the market that iCare manages. Then we have another 59 self-insurers and then six specialised insurers, and they are Racing New South Wales, Catholic Churches, State Cover looks after local government employers, Guild, which is pharmacy but just newly expanded their licence to include childcare, and hoteliers. So it's just a bit of background. Next is the journey. So we're a new regulator. As WorkCover, we probably operated more like an insurer than a regulator. So now, what does it mean to be a regulator? And this is a bit of the journey that we've been on, looking at the research about of modern regulators. What are the, how do they regulate? It's less on compliance and more on outcome, and very much focused on risk. So if there's a good piece of legislation, if there's risk and harms in the environment and the legislation's compliance elements are together, then that's a great piece of legislation. I'm not sure that the workers' comp legislation is a great piece, so there's probably an area of crossover. So the area that we'll focus on is in the middle. We have power through the legislation and it is addressing real risks and harms. So, and our focus is on outcomes. So, probably our most important outcome for a worker and their employer is for the worker who's injured to return to good health and financial independence, and work provides that opportunity. So moving on to the next slide is, we all know that, I won't go through that in great detail, only that I've worked in the workplace and injury management and rehab workers' comp field for 25 years or so, and from a perspective of always focusing on work. And I think that good employers are providing an incredible service to the community by offering good work. They're keeping the population healthy, because we know for most injured workers, for most individuals, working improves general health and well-being. We also know that using work as treatment of choice is probably more productive than utilising a lot of other sort of treatment regimes. And I think it's also important to focus on the two most important stakeholders within the system, and that they are workers and employers. The evidence says that the employer and the worker are the two stakeholders that most influence return to work, and that if the rest of the stakeholders, insurers, GPs, other practitioners are supporting the process, then that's a more successful model. But I find our current models can be quite paternalistic. We're all doing to the injured worker, doing to the employer, rather than supporting them to maintain their positive sort of relationship and the power they have in influencing return to work. So we'll move to the data and what the data's telling us. So return to work rates by financial year. This measure is based, it's not a, a duration measure. It's a measure based on the work status code 1, 2, 3 and 4. So whether you've gone back to your pre-injury employer in full capacity or partial capacity, or whether you've gone to a different employer with full capacity, partial capacity. Over the cohort that we're using are workers that have had one day time loss. So this is the return to work rate. So we're looking, there has been some improvement, although it's reasonably stable there. And the next slide is just about median costs. So just demonstrating again, the longer somebody is off work, the higher the costs of the claim. So now I'll pass over to Sriani, who will take us through the analytics.
Thank you, Cathy. In my presentation, I'm going to concentrate on a number of areas. You know, there's a first one is the findings from research relevant for the topic. I will be highlighting few areas that I found in research, and also the other part is using three cohorts of data. I'm going to show the results of findings of the analysis, The analysis methods I used, basically regression analysis and random forest model machine learning language. So I used that as well. So this is basically, you know, there's a Patrick Loisel, you know, that's in 2001, when he did some work disability sort of work, you know, he came up with a conceptual framework for analyzing this sort of thing. So he highlighted four main domains. So I adapted that to my work. And one of the areas is healthcare system. basically medical practitioners, allied health, and workplace rehab. And the orange part shows where the employers and economic situations are impacting on injured workers' return to work sort of thing. The green part shows where how the system, you know, there's a legislative framework and disputation sort of thing, and insurer, you know, there's how they manage claims sort of thing. The yellow part shows the claims and claimant characteristics. This is where, you know, there's the psychosocial sort of characteristics coming in, and also other demographics of injured workers. So this is basically a continuation of the previous slide. You know, there's when you talk about employers, it's not just the whether the employer is a small employer, large employer, but what support that employers provide to injured workers. You know, there's when they are injured, whether the systems are in place to support injured workers for individual like employers. So when you look at claimant characteristics, as I said, you know, demographics plus, you know, psychosocial sort of things coming up quite a lot. And in terms of system legislative framework, mainly claims experience and how the dispute resolution process is working is coming up. So healthcare system and providers, effective medical care, and the workplace rehab sort of things coming up as prominent. In my analysis, I looked at three data cohorts. You know, there's a pre-2012 claims data. So this is basically a few years back we did the analysis, but I thought I'll bring it back to this presentation just to see post-2012 analysis whether there had been any changes or to the analysis in results, and then bringing in 2016 return to work survey data. For the first time, we had the opportunity to look at return to work, national return to work data related to New South Wales. So source data used this for pre-2012, it's about 38,000 claims. You know, there's a post-2012, it's a bigger cohort, 209,000 claims. And the survey data related to 812 claims. They are different periods. You know, there's a first two are mutually exclusive. You know, there's they are pre and post claims. So pre and post, you know, we had major legislative reforms in 2012 as well. So we thought we'll have a look at that as well. And then, you know, there's a survey data basically some most of the claims, you know, covered in the post-2012 cohort as well. So the analysis methods used for three different cohorts are different. For example, in the first cohort, pre-2012, we didn't have enough or proper return-to-work measures at the time. So we used proxy measure, which is the weekly benefits duration. And for post-2012, as Kathy said, you know, this we started using work status code. So we considered that as a proper return-to-work, although knowing there are limitations with the current methods. But still, you know, it's good enough for us to start doing the analysis. And 2016 survey data, we look at, you know, whether the person is back at work at the time of the survey. So for the first set of analysis, we are using multiple regression because using the admin data, we selected number of variables, and as an outcome variable, we use the duration. For post-2012 claims data, because the data for the outcome variable is binary, decided to use the logistic regression, and also to support that, use the random forest model to see whether our results are, can be validated and augmented through the analysis. So 2016 return to work survey data, use the, again, binary regression analysis. So pre-2012 data we use as the dependent variable, proxy return to work measure, and predictive variables use a limited number of variables available from the admin data, mainly the claimant demographics and employer characteristics such as, you know, this employer size, whether the rehab providers are involved. And we also did at that time, you know, so we did a separate model to look at macroeconomic factors, you know, this whether the unemployment rate and participation rate had any impact on return to work. So because we used the multiple regression analysis, we had to do a little bit of tests to check the normality and the interdependence of variables. So did quite a few analysis, chi-square, ANOVA, and multiple regression. So there are a couple of slides with detailed analysis results. I think next few slides present that analysis result. I don't want to go through a lot of details, but just get the next slide. You know, there's a, so basically, you know, there's a, looking at, you know, there's a, the association between different variables, predictors and outcome variable, and also for this analysis and the post-analysis, I used just one single measure, 26-week measure. So, you know, how long, you know, people had been work, off work, you know, there's a passing 26 weeks. So, these are the findings at the pre-2012 level. I just wanted to just put into the presentation if people are interested in looking at this sort of data. But my main concentration is post-2012 data and the survey data. So basically, you know, there's a, what the model shows is, it's all right, the next time, good. So basically what I'm looking at is when any variation prior to the period and the post period. And for this one, I use the dependent variable as the, whether the person is back at work with the same employer or different employer. And the number of variables I used again from the admin data, limited number of variables, claim and demographics, whether the claim is a psychological claim or whether the claimant had surgery, and delay to reporting, employee characteristics, and whether the provider involvement, like rehab, workplace rehab. Method of analysis, again, in a chi-square logistic regression and random forest model. So I'll talk a little bit more on these three different models. Before that, I'll just give the outcomes of this these results. You know, there's a, it explains only, you know, there's a limited amount of variance through these models, you know, because the admin data won't tell us everything. So a lot of the other factors impacting on return to work outcomes. So similar to pre-2012 model, you know, there's a claim characteristics explain only very limited variance in return to work outcomes. Model fit statistics showed that the regression model performed well with an overall performance of 74% of the ROC curve. You know, that's the next slide, I'll show that. So because of that, you know, there's to validate the results and augment the results of the regression, I use the random forest model, which is the data mining model. So the findings of this analysis are these psychological claims coming up top as the most important predictor, and nature of injury, body location, again, related to with the nature of injury also, you can identify, you know, there's a psychological claims as a separate one. And body location, you know, there's whether head, back, that sort of distribution. And then workplace rehabilitation. These are the factors came up on top. This is basically the results. You know, there's the model shows that statistically significant results with a p-value of 0.000, less than 0.0001 for all the variables selected. You know, there's that shows the significance of the model. But still, you know, it explains only very limited amount of variance. So this is the main point that I'm trying to highlight through this analysis is admin data explains only limited amount of variance. When I go to the survey data, you will see, you know, there's what shows the as the results of this analysis. So the logistic regression I use, it is a powerful parametric model, but it assumes linearity between the predictors and the logit transformation of the outcome variable. One of the good things about logistic regression is it's easy to interpret because you have the statistical parameters to interpret. But the limitation is when you have highly correlated variables, you have this confounding effect and it becomes a little bit difficult to interpret. But the random forest model, which I'll explain the next slide, you know what it is a flexible, non-parametric model, and it therefore it's easy to use because sometimes when the variables are correlated, still you can use it in the model. Only thing is it's a bit difficult to interpret. In other words, it's not like regression. You don't have statistical parameters to interpret. But still, there are other ways of showing the results of this sort of analysis. So one of the good things with the random forest model is was able to add two additional variables for the model, which I couldn't use it for the binary regression, which are psychological injury as well as the whether the claimant had surgery or not. This random forest model, what is this? You know, this is a method that, you know, there's in machine language, you know, people use to classify problems. So in this method, you create large number of decision trees. You know, there's like you initially select probably two-thirds or 70% of your data. You train that data set, and the method called bootstrap resampling, you know, there's you select that 70% and first you do your analysis with selected predictors, not all. Once you do the decision tree, you know, there's you put them back to this the population and select your second sample. So it's like, you know, this you train, you select number of data sets from the same data set and you resample and do the analysis multiple times. So you build number of trees and based on different rules that you know, there's like you have predictor variables, based on predictor variables, and then at the end you aggregate your results. So what we call these results are averaged to get an ensemble learner. So that's done because, you know, there's you need to reduce the overfitting problem. So we use the random forest model to make sure that our previous results of binary regression is reasonably good enough. This is basically the results of both regression analysis and the random forest model. So you see from the blue line, which is the ROC curve for the regression analysis, red curve is for the random forest model. So the improvement, what you can see, it's modest. It shows that the binary regression results are also reasonably good enough. And then the red curve shows, you know, this by adding the additional two variables plus using the random forest model, so you increase this your model validity. This is basically to show some of the key variables came out as important in this analysis. So we said before it's a bit difficult to interpret because you don't have statistical parameters, but there are certain things that we can use to interpret the importance of variables. For example, you know, there's a Gini index and the reduction in impurity of Gini index, and you can see again, you know, there's which type of variables coming on top of the table. So again, psychological injury is coming up as the top one, and also a few others that we talked about before. So this is basically the return to work survey 2016. For the first time, we are using the survey data to analyze, you know, this is what predictors are there explaining return to work. So as we know, a lot of characteristics we can't get from the admin data. So this survey is very rich. You know, there's a lot of information is there. And we use that to supplement our data that we used for the other analysis. This is once in 2 years. You know, there's we get our data sets to SafeWork Australia and then Social Science Research Centre. They carry out the survey. There are large number of questions they used for this survey. And we used two different cohorts. One, to look at the history, you know, there's what's happening for the return to work rates. The second cohort is the one that we used to analyze this data, which is, you know, there's based on the characteristics highlighted there in the yellow box. You know, that's how we select the sample. So we selected about over 1,000 claims, but the response rate, based on the response rate at the end, 812 responses received. We analyzed that to explain all our variables. So as I said, you know, it's covering number of areas. The survey include questions on different aspects, so which we can't get from our admin data. So claim characteristics plus employer support and involvement and claims experience, medical care, claim and psychosocial sort of factors. There are three measures that we collect through that survey: whether the person is returned to work at any time, or returned to work at the time of the survey, or returned to work and at work for a period of 3 months. So for the analysis purposes, we use whether the person is back at work at the time of the survey. So this is basically, you know, there's used 42 questions from the survey grouped into five broader categories. So one is the worker health. You know, there's how do injured worker perceive his or her health as a predictor. So the second one is medical care. You know, there's how easy for injured people to access to a GP or medical treatment and the communication with GPs, that sort of thing. Claims experience, mainly, you know, there's the process, you know, how open and honest the process is, and good communication system. Employer support, you know, there's policies, procedures, employer commitment, and the supervisors and employers involvement. And most importantly, psychosocial sort of thing, you know, this is whether people had injured workers, they are satisfied with the job, or whether they have a control or job demands, that sort of thing. This is from literature. You know, there's a Hartwigson, he defined, you know, this, what is this psychosocial characteristics. It's basically is referring to psychological. So perception of work, you know, there's a job satisfaction, job security, time pressures on the job, job demands, you know, there's a work control, that sort of thing. And also, you know, there's a social support at work, you know, that's another area that he mentioned about this under this topic. Stress at work, you know, there's whether the job strain, level of distress, that sort of thing, and mental exertion. So what we did, you know, there's actually combined these 42 questions into five groups, as I mentioned, and then we developed composite indexes to find out, you know, there's how important these factors are. So basically, the answers to the questions sometimes vary from, you know, there's a strongly disagree to strongly agree. It's a Likert scale, you know, there's 5-point scale. Or, you know, there's another one is, you know, there's like the poor to excellent sort of answers depending on the question. So positive and negative responses are weighted. You know, there's like positive responses given a higher weight, like 100% sort of thing. And the negative responses lower. It's a sliding scale. Based on that, composite scores are constructed. What this shows is actually all five groups, you know, there's all five factors are contributing the positive outcomes, contributing to positive outcomes. So two important ones came up as differences for return to work and non-return to work is employer index and the claim experience index. You can see from blue and yellow bars, you know, there's which ones, you know, there's a return to work one. There's a higher score compared to non-return to work. So this all 42 factors put into, you know, the binary regression model again, the final finding is, you know, this is basically medical care, psychosocial factors, and workplace environment explains, you know, 63% of variance in return to work. So you can clearly see admin data shows very low variance, explaining very low variance, but multiple of factors, you know, there's a, you see quite a lot of variance is explained. So statistically significant results, you know, there's a looking at likelihood ratio, scores, and all the other tests what we are looking at. The results are significant, statistically significant, you know, p-values are less than 0.0001, and predictor variables influencing return to work outcomes are listed there as medical care, psychosocial, employer support, and claims experience. So they can be seen from the following slides with the, it's a bit messy, but it's all over the place, but still there are quite a number of variables where more than one value is. This is basically showing, you know, there's a, across different variables, you know, there's a, how important, you know, there's a different predictor variables are for explaining, you know, there's a predictor outcomes. This one again shows, you know, there's a quite a lot of validity of the model. You know, there's 92% under the curve, so which is really a good indication of the survey results shows quite a lot of explanations on return to work outcomes. This is basically the summary of findings. You know, there's a, the, with the two models, you know, there's a claimant model of post-2012 and the survey model. Basically, the claimant model, you know, there's a, using some static variables as well as some variables dynamic, we call dynamic variables, because there is a control that, you know, there's organizations can put into some of these dynamic variables. Findings summarizing, you know, there's like, you know, psych injury, nature, body location, and workplace rehab came up as top. With the survey data, you know, there's survey questions grouped into five. As I said, the most important ones came out in order, you know, there's medical care, psychosocial, employee support, and claims experience. See, the conclusions, you know, there's from this analysis is claim and claimant characteristics available in our traditional admin data explains only a small proportion of variance in return to work. So psychological injury and workplace rehabilitation explains variance from claimant models. Medical care and psychological factors explain large variance from survey data. And also employee support and claim experience also showing significant association between return to work outcomes and predictor variables. So data for some other factors are not available even from survey data. You know, there's currently Kathy is leading this piece of work. You know, there's there are quite a number of areas that we still need to look at. You know, if you look at the research that's done in America, you know, they show, you know, there's people who are in long-term medication. You know, there's how that is impacting on return to work. And this morning we heard about, you know, the family support, how it is impact. So there are some areas that we are not currently collecting data through this survey, so which we could look into. Because we are not collecting that type of data, that's something that we are looking forward for the 2018 survey, if possible, to include and enhance that survey. So the other area is we need bit more in-depth analysis using advanced analytic methods. So we just started using these things. We are not saying the return to work measures we are using are perfect, because there are limitations with the measures as well, and also the variables that we are collecting are not complete. But still, it's time for us to do a lot more analysis to identify areas where I should focus on. I will ask Kathy to go through, because we found certain things what's happening, and Kathy will talk about, you know, there's interventions that we have you know, to cover all the areas.
So we've just got 5 minutes. So this is an example of using the data that we've got, how are we applying it to our practices as a regulator, and how we are trying to identify, address the risks that have been found associated with this data. So medical care, access to GP. Actually, I need to take my glasses off. So we're looking at a GP capability building strategy, although I have to say we're working with Comcare, we're working with Safe Work Australia in this area. It's something that all of us can probably contribute to, but is it actually about capability building? We have to really identify what the issue is. I've been meeting with Royal Australian College of GPs, and they said they understand the health benefits of good work. They just don't have time to have difficult conversations with workers, and they don't know how to have those sorts of difficult conversations. So perhaps time needs to be spent on defining the actual problem. So the data can provide enough information for us to start exploring things in a bit more detail. Psychosocial aspects, so job satisfaction, job control, they are how a worker participates in work can have an impact on whether injuries occur. So we're working with our Safe Work New South Wales colleagues on their mentally healthy workplace strategy to look at creating sort of mentally well workplaces. The third element that came out of the survey data was employer support, and it was things like being treated fairly, communicating well, accessing information. We're looking at a targeted approach. We've used some predictive data in identifying employers that have workers that aren't yet back at work, and we're using our return to work inspectors to go out and visit those work sites to try and influence a return to work. We're also using some data to identify our big employers who have poor claims experience and poor return to work, and looking at collaborating with them and looking at case managing them through and working with our Safe Work colleagues. We're about to develop a psychological injury strategy. We're employing somebody, but that's across CIRA, both the CTP market and the workers' comp market. We have done some work on the use of investigations when somebody first claims a psychological injury, and we can't actually say one leads to the other, but for those workers where a factual has occurred immediately after notifying of the claim, if there is, it's a really good tool to deny the claim if the claim needs to be denied, but it's an awful tool if the claim then gets accepted. So the results are indicating something like tenfold increase in cost and poor return to work outcomes when a factual is done with people with psychological injuries. So we presented that information to an insurer group just to discuss what can we do about this? It's not the best approach. You do need to get information to make a decision about liability. Can you get that information in another way? Can you gather information you need to help you with liability and at the same time progress the case and find out what's going on? So it's just a bit of a shift in how we collect that sort of information. Workplace rehab. I have to confess that New South Wales spend $185 million on workplace rehab. We spend $50 million on physiotherapy. So it is huge and it's getting bigger. And I think John Nagel reported that when they did an audit of the use of workplace rehab providers, that 65% of their work is associated with claims management, not with return to work. However, workplace rehab is coming up as a good predictor of whether somebody gets back to work. So we've got to make sense of all that. So we're looking at just trying to understand exactly what's going on there. There's a lot of purchasing of providers by brokers. So, you know, what are the influences going on in that area? Claims handling, it's about the softer skills. So it's the open and honest process, good communication. So we had up top, good communication from GPs, good communication from employers, good communication from claims agents. So our audit, we have an audit program where we can look at compliance with the legislation, but also good looking at best practice, or not best practice, but good case practice. And communication comes up in that. So we're about to commence a model in relation to auditing. We're looking at developing a new claims handling guideline. We've got power within the legislation to do that. So set expectations of what is good. Work with the industry to do that, but then it will be up to the industry to operationalise that. And we've had some co-design strategies with insurers in particular hotspots. So that I suppose this is an example of where data can help inform your practice, but it isn't the answer to absolutely everything. Shriani, I'll finish off just explaining what we're trying to do to improve the data itself.
Basically, you know, we are implementing quite a few things. You know, there's new BI tools are getting implemented because people can get the data and metrics quite quickly rather than, you know, there's relying on an experienced programmer to do that. So the return to work data is going to be available soon. You know, so they are in UAT sort of a stage, so people can click the button and get that sort of data at any level. Then start monitoring quite quickly. And then the other project is MeasureWell project. You know, Kathy is leading this sort of work. We are working with Monash University. You know, as I said, we are looking for a robust multi-layered measure rather than just a point-in-time measure. You know, so there will be improvements to the way that we are measuring return to work as well. And we try to make use of machine learning language or data mining models to supplement our statistical models. And also we are working on some analytics to look at relative performance of providers and benchmarking. So there are a number of areas that we are working on. So the three things that you can take out from this presentation are, you know, there's one, admin data itself will not tell you the full story. You need to look at other means of getting data when you do the analytics. The second one is, you know, you need to start doing more and more analysis, you know, because, you know, if you don't do the analysis, you don't know where the areas that you need to focus on, and also the limitations. The other thing is these factors are interrelated. When you do the analysis, you need to make sure that, you know, so you can't just look at employee support, not looking at the psychosocial sort of aspects. So this multifactorial nature of this whole thing, you know, so you need to look at and do a bit more in-depth analysis to get a good view of, you know, what's going on and what interventions we can have in place. So that ends our presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, we are out of time, unfortunately, but I'm sure Catherine and Shriani will happily accept questions after the session if you want to track them down. Before you do go, there's two things. One is get on your app and fill in the feedback, please. Second is that the bus for tonight leaves from the foyer leaves at 6:40, but you've got to be there at 6:30. So please don't be late, because I hate standing around waiting. And so whilst I hand over a couple of bottles of wine, could you please thank our speakers, Shriani Dias and Catherine Dale.